Lisa and I have been preaching our way through the great Sermon on the Mount, and so this morning we come to another section of this teaching that fell from the lips of Jesus as he was up on the mountain there. The disciples were gathered in. He was teaching them. The crowd was overhearing what he had to say, but this was a basic message for his children, for his people. And so these truths that we've been attempting to present to you are aimed for those of us who are followers of Jesus. Everyone can profit from them, of course. But these are the teachings that tells us what a Christian life looks like, how we live it out, how it gets expressed. There was a mom in Kentucky who was very, very worried. She had a little boy who said exactly what he thought about everything. No filter. And she had a brother whom her son had never met. And her brother had a very, very large nose. And her family was going to go and visit her brother for the first time. And she was worried sick that her son would say something inappropriate about her brother's nose. And so for several weeks before the trip, she would take her son aside and say, "Now, son, your Uncle Frank has a large nose. And when you see him, you are not to say anything at all to him about that." And all the way as they drove from Kentucky to Oklahoma, from time to time, mother would turn around and say, "Now remember, son, nothing about the nose." They reached their destination. They drove into the driveway and got out of the car, went up to the door, rang the doorbell. And the uncle opens the door and the mother turns to her son and says, "Ronnie, I want you to meet your Uncle Nose." It's true, isn't it, that oftentimes what we worry and stew about, that keeps us awake at night, takes away our appetite, are some of the very things we end up causing. Because our worry doesn't help. It really complicates. Worry is what Jesus wanted to talk to his disciples about in this section. And he wants to talk to you and me about it. Is there anyone here today that never, ever, for any reason, has ever worried before in their life? No, I didn't think so. And that includes me. Worry is very destructive. It's very damaging. It can damage our physical health. It can produce depression. It drains away our energy physically and emotionally. It keeps us awake at night. It directs our attention away from the things in life that really matter. It has been estimated that between 60 and 90% of medical office visits are stress-related symptoms. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. It's been estimated that between 60 and 90% of medical office visits are because of stress-related symptoms. Symptoms that we're having that's very real, that has been caused by our worrying. Now, I need to say, and Jesus would want us to know this, because this is a part of his teaching elsewhere, there is a big difference between concern and worry. Now, I say that to you, and yet I have to admit, as soon as I say that, I know I'm going to give some of you an excuse. Because you're going to say, "Oh no, I don't worry, I'm just concerned." A concern is something that can be addressed in specific, intentional ways. If we have a concern about something, we can sit down and say, here's the problem, here's the issue, here's the challenge. I need to attack it from these vantage points. And you can address a concern. A worry, you're simply out of control. There are no steps that you can think of that's going to address what it is you're fretting and stewing and worrying about. And so it just takes over and it consumes your thinking. Now in this passage that Lisa read for us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, can be broken down into four things. Let me share those four very quickly with you, but then I want to move to bring this sermon to a close by showing you how Jesus shows us in this passage how damaging and how great of a problem worry is for you and me. He's very specific, and I'll point that out to you. But the four major things that you find in this teaching here in the section on worry is this. Please notice that right out of the gate, the very first verse of this section is a command. Let me read it. Do not worry about your life. That's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. Jesus looked at his disciples. He's looking at us today, and he says, don't do it. Now, he's going to go on to tell us why. But please notice it's a command. Second thing I want you to notice is that it's also a word of instruction. There's some really important teaching here. And I could stop right here and fill the rest of my sermon. But let me just point it out to you. The instruction is found in verse 27 when he says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? In other words, how many of you, and you don't need to raise your hand for this one, but how many of you have encountered something that you've worried about and you've stewed over and the worrying helped? None of us. That includes me. That's the instruction. Who among you can add 1 hour to your life? You can't. And third thing I want you to see that comes out of this passage is, but it's also a word of comfort. It's a command. Don't do it. It's useless. It won't help you. It's an instruction, but it's a word of comfort. It's a word of comfort because a couple of times in this teaching, Jesus refers to God as our Heavenly Father. God is our Father. Now, we know that. But what that means is God is the consummate Father. God is the perfect Father. God is the kind of Father we all desire and want and need. And so therefore, if you're His child and He's your Father, He's going to take care of you. Oh, how comforting. How comforting. He takes care of creation. He feeds the birds. He dresses the flowers. You're in good hands. The third thing that we can see in this teaching from Jesus, or the fourth thing, it's a command, it's an instruction, it's a comfort, and it's a word of promise. It's a word of promise in verse 33. By the way, when I was in college and I became a Christian, I was told, I went to a Christian university, I was privileged. And I was told, you know, as a Christian, you should have a life verse. You should select a verse from the Bible that will be your North Star. It will be that which you kind of seek to pursue and to follow after with all of your heart. And when I was in college, I selected Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What a tremendous word of promise. God knows you need drink. God knows you need food. God knows you need clothing. God knows he needs all the stuff you worry about. And he says, if you just put me first, I'll add those things also. Now, they are the needs that he promises to meet. Not always our wants, but always our needs. And bless God, he throws in a few of our wants as a bonus from time to time, doesn't he? Well, why is worry a problem? And Jesus spells it out for us. I'll give it to you very quickly. Reader's Digest condensed version. Ready? Here we go. Jesus spells out in this in very detail why worry is a problem. In verse 25, he says that worry causes us to lose sight of the things that are truly important. That's reason number one why worry is a problem. It causes us to lose sight of what is truly important. Do not worry, verse 25. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Why? Because there's more to life than those things. And Jesus wants you to know that. Worry causes us to forget, number two, that we're valuable to God. That's the second reason Jesus gives here. Did you know you're valuable to God? You're precious to God? You know how I know you're precious to God? Because he died for you. He went to the cross for you. He gave his life for you. That's how precious you are. When you look upon the cross and you see his arms spread out and nailed to the cross, he is saying to you, this is how much I care and love you. But the things of this life cause us to forget. In verse 26, it reads like this. It says, isn't life more than food? Isn't body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. God feeds them. And here's a third reason why worry is a problem. And Jesus spells it out in verse 27. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I've already pointed that out to you. But listen to these statistics that has been proven through research and study by physicians and therapists and psychologists. 40% of the things that you and I worry about never happen. 40% of what you and I worry about just doesn't happen. 30% of the things you and I worry about happened in the past, and we can't do a thing about it. 30%. 10% of our concerns surrounds our health, but worry actually makes our health worse. And 8% of our worries are legitimate, but worrying about them won't change them. Yeah, worry doesn't work. And then Jesus goes on to say in verses 28 through 29, worry causes you and me to lose sight of God. Because here's what happens. When we have an issue or a problem in our life that we begin to worry about, the more we worry about it, the more we begin to focus upon it, it begins to grow. It begins to get larger, and it gets larger until it becomes all-consuming to us of what we think about and what we worry about. And in the process, although we don't mean it, we don't intend it to happen, as the problem grows larger, God goes smaller until all of our attention is upon the problem, not upon the God who can deal with the problem. It really causes us to lose sight of God. Verses 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, and yet God clothes them. And even Solomon in all of his glory could not outdress the flowers that God has. Here's another reason Jesus spells out in this text why worry is a problem. Worry, as I just pointed out to you, makes the problem appear larger than it really is. I heard of a man one time who was walking across a railroad trestle during a very, very dark time of the night. And horror of horrors, he heard a train coming and he had no place to go. And so the man jumped to the side of the bridge and held on to the trestle's edge. When the train finally passed by, the man found that he didn't have the strength to pull himself back up, and he knew he had to hang on until sunlight so somebody could help him. And when the sun rose and gave light, he discovered instead of being a drop of thousands of feet or even hundreds of feet, it was a drop of 6 inches. Can you imagine the worry and the stewing as he held on? Here's a final thing. Jesus tells us why worry is a problem. Is worry causes us to forget that God is sovereign and is in control of your life. Let me tell you something that's very important, and I hope it will be comforting to you. It should be. And that is this. Nothing in this life can come into your life without it first passing through the will of God. I need to say that again because that's important. I'm telling you, my dear friends, that nothing in this life can come into your life until it has first passed through the will of God. Which means that God is in control. Yes, it might be a sticky wicket for you. It might be a difficult burden for you to bear. It might be frightening. It might be scary. But God is there, and it's there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And God will get you through it because he never will allow you to enter into something that catches him off guard. God is not in heaven looking down upon you with the worry that you have on your heart this morning and going, boy, I didn't anticipate that. It's not what God is doing. God is sitting in heaven and saying, I know, I'm in control. I'm watching. I'm here. We can get through this together. Well, I can only say it very quickly, but I need to give you some practical ways in which you and I can deal with worry. And I need to stand up here in front of you and be totally honest. Do I, as a pastor, as a Christian, do I ever worry? Are you kidding? Of course, we do. Now, I understand, as you understand, that Jesus doesn't want me worrying. And he's told me with a clear command, don't worry. And so, a part of the Christian life, what does it look like? We wrestle with worry, but we refuse to allow it to control our lives because Jesus is the control of our life. So, if you're worrying about something this morning, let me tell you some practical ways you can begin to attack it. Number one, make sure that God is first in your life. Make sure that of all your priorities, of all the things that you say are important, of all the things that you say are of a necessity, make sure God's at the top of the list. And if you can say that in all honesty, then you can move to the second point. God is first. Number two, I must allow God to teach me to live one day at a time. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So just live today. You have today. You have this very moment. You're not guaranteed of tomorrow. So live today. Forget about tomorrow right now. And that doesn't mean we can't make plans, that we can't begin to work on what's on our schedules. No. But it means when it comes to worry, I'll worry about that tomorrow when I have to face it. But for right now, I need to live my life to its fullest. And thirdly, and this is so critical, so important, pray your worries. When you begin to worry and you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're lying in bed and that thing is looming large, simply pray and say, Lord Jesus Christ, this thing is destroying me. This thing has me awake. This thing has burdened me down. I'm giving it to you the best I can. Please help me deal with this. Begin to pray your worries. And then number four, lean upon the promises of God. And this is why you need to know your Bibles. Here we go again, we preachers, always talking about reading your Bible. But this is why. If you know that there are some promises in Scripture that deals with these very kinds of issues in your life, you can lean upon them. Can I give you a few? Here's a few from 1 Peter 5:7. The Bible says, cast all of your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. So if you're under some care, cast it upon the Lord. And say, Lord, I can't handle it. I'm giving it to you. And here's from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. I don't understand why I'm worrying about this, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. And here's Psalm 46:1-2. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the times of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Or I could go on and say, I will not worry. Here's Psalm 23:1. Remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And here's Psalm 121:4. He who keeps Israel, and that could save the church, that could save the Christian. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's not sleeping while you're sweating with your worry. Yeah, trust God is the final thing to practically do. Trust Him. It's beyond your control. One of my favorite passages comes from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33:27 says this, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath you are His everlasting arms. Remember that when you're worrying. Well, let me close with a story. It was a very steep, winding mountain road. The tourist bus inched its way down, navigating the curves with great care. Then the bus driver and the tourists smelled the burning brake shoes against the drum of the wheel. Just moments before the brakes gave way, the bus began to rapidly pick up speed. The anxious look on the passengers, occasionally punctuated with screams of fear. But far in the back of the bus, there was a little boy who had fallen asleep. And no matter what happened, the screaming, the cries, he continued to sleep. When the bus finally reached the foot of the mountain in one piece, everyone expressed great relief and gratitude. One man woke up the little boy. He told him what happened. And he asked him in a laughing kind of a way, how in the world could you possibly sleep through all of that dangerous ride? And the little boy said, sir, I could sleep because my dad is the driver of the bus. Folks, our Father is the driver of the bus. and we will arrive safely. Thank you, God. You know we worry over some of the dumbest things. Some of us are more prone to worry than others, but we all do it. We're admitting it this morning, Father. No need to try to hide it. You already know. But what we're asking you is to help us to cut it out. Help us not to do it. Help us in the moments when worry begins to descend upon us to call out to you, to focus our attention and our thoughts on you. And so, Father, minister to the people here this morning through your Holy Spirit. You know those who are worried. You know those who are fretting. You know those who didn't sleep well last night, or maybe who won't tonight. And so please, impress your presence and your power and your grace and your mercy upon them right now, and help them to trust you and to believe you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Lord and Savior, and God's people said, amen.